Well, good afternoon. Let me welcome you to Midweek in Mayfair, what of venturing through the rain. Proverbs, we're thinking today about making plans. Which is good, isn't it? Because we have to do that from time to time. Shall we pray? And then we'll have a look at this list. And then we'll dive in. Our loving Father, thank you that you care for every detail of our lives. The decisions we make, be they significant ones or minor ones, really, you care. And you give us principles and you give us your words to direct us, to help us. Help us understand now that the significant truths about how we go about making plans, would they be of practical help to us so we can live for you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. List then of some proverbs. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisers make victory sure. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisers they succeed. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of destruction. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you'll be wise. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. I don't think it's a great surprise to us that Proverbs, then, it's a book about wisdom, growing in wisdom for life. Unsurprisingly, that such a book has a lot to say about planning. Because obviously that's inherent in being a wise person, the plans and decisions you make regarding the future. And as ever, here's just a little selection of the relevant proverbs. All of us make a relentless number of plans. Some are trivial. Which cereal out of the 200 on display do I want to consume? Or do I want to buy from the shop? Some are more significant. Do I buy this house? Quite a lot of money. Do I change jobs? I don't know. Which is the best option? I mean, some are clearly more significant. When you come to the book of Proverbs and making plans, one of the things that smacks you very quickly in the face is there's an obvious paradox in planning. Let me just illustrate that. Some of the verses there. So chapter 16, verse 9. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his step. There's balance there, isn't there? Man plans his course. He daydreams, has ambitions. He designs what he's going to do. Next year I will, says the man, and that is my plan. And yet, the Lord decrees what will happen. Steps there. It's actually singular. The whole of your path is determined by the Lord. So a man plans, the Lord determines. Or similarly, chapter 21, verse 31, you see the same sort of balance. The horse is made ready for the day of battle. The horse, that's your tanks or your missiles of the day, of course, your technological weapon. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. Again, you see the balance. There's no hint there of, well, the Lord's in charge, so let's just sit back and smoke some cigarettes. No need to polish the guns and get the weapons ready. No, prepare your weapons, but the outcome is with the Lord. Both and throughout. So those two truths have got to be held together. Proverbs expects us to make plans, tells us you've got to be sensible, make good plans. And yet ultimately, our future is in God's hands. And you've got to take those two and hold them together. It's no other way of reading what's in the book. And if you fail, well, there's two obvious mistakes, I guess. The first is you fail to plan. It could be you fail to plan because you say, well, God's in charge. What's the point? Okay, sera, sera. Or you could have a, I don't know, how do you describe it perhaps, a more Pentecostal theology. God must reveal his plan to me, and until he does, I can't do anything. I just need the plan downloaded in a, well, I don't know, vision, dream. I just need it. Landing on my desk on a nice A4 piece of paper. I just need the plan. This is a spoof article I read ages ago. Man dies aged 88 while waiting for God to reveal his will. The man is called Edwin Goodwin. Odd name, but anyway. Edwin's neighbour commented, for the last 70 years of his life, Edwin sat at home waiting for God to reveal his will. But sadly, the Lord never did. So from the age of 18 until he died age 88, Edwin was at home. Every so often, Edwin thought that God had given him a picture, a vision, but he was never confident enough that that was the plan. So he did nothing and spent 70 years sat in his lounge. That's not true, I don't think. But that's sort of, you know, you can fall off the horse that side. Well, if God's in control, oh, I don't need to do anything. Or I need him to tell me precisely what needs to happen. Or I can't act. That's hopeless. Hopeless. Or this other side of falling off the horse is you can obsessively plan and think that everything is down to you. And if you make a mistake, it's curtains and your life is a ruin. So I got something through the post. It comes every so often. This little leaflet that comes courtesy kindly of the Church of England about their pension scheme, which is terrible, and apparently I can retire age 107 and get £2.50 a year or something terrible. The scheme tells me that. But this nice glossy leaflet, that's why I've got no money, this nice glossy pamphlet comes through saying, the future is in your hands. And you think, golly, it's to a bunch of vicars. They really should know better than that. No. Hopefully they recognise the future is in God's hands. But if you think the future is just in your hands and your hands alone, that'll make you an anxious person if everything rests upon you. You're not meant to carry that sort of burden. So make plans, says the book. But don't be anxious. Trust the Lord. Because ultimately, the future's in his hands. You've got to hold those two together. The paradox of planning. Now let's base ourselves. You can basically get all the book teaches just from three verses in chapter 16, 1 to 3. So let's just expand on those a little bit. Plan thoroughly. Question your motives. Rest upon the Lord. That'll do it. First, then, chapter 16, verse 1. Plan thoroughly. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. Again, you see the balance there. Man is to make plans. That's not half-baked ideas, blue sky thinking, just daydreaming. That's solid, concrete plans. This idea of the making of plans comes up for what it's worth two other times. Obviously in the Old Testament, in chapter 14 of Genesis, it's setting up your troops. So the king makes plans for his troops. In Job 13, it's preparing a legal case. You just think about both those ideas. Making plans, that's thorough. So the British Army has its war games. It plays out on computers and physically on a regular basis. So every year, as many as can be spared off, they go to Canada and set up their battle plans. What would happen if they attack from this angle, and then we go there, and then they just play it all out. There's thorough planning. Or similarly, a barrister preparing their legal case. You know, some of you would have seen what it's like when eventually this case that has been prepared for whatever months turns up to court. And it requires a van to ship in all the documents, boxes and boxes and boxes of documents. And the barristers go, they're off they go with their trolley, which is just their opening speech. Because there's plan, you've got to plan thoroughly. That's the sense of it here. Make plans. Work hard at your plans for the future. So two things that flow from that. Think hard. Think hard about what you're going to do. This is fairly obvious stuff, I would imagine. But chapter 21, verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. So the old sports cliche is true. Failure to prepare is preparation to fail. It's obvious. Think through. It's not surprising. Or 24:27, finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Well, both are good, aren't they? Having work, ploughing the fields, that's good. Having somewhere to sleep, that's good. Yeah, but growing crops makes money. Prettifying your house spends money. So all the guy here is saying is, gain money before you spend it. Well, it's fairly obvious, isn't it? Well, not always how we live. So think hard. I mean, do think hard about what you're doing. But then a more common theme is seek advice from many. Only a selection here. It's a very large theme in the book. But seek advice from many. Chapter 11, verse 14, for lack of guidance the nation fails, but many advisors make victory sure. Or 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Seek advice from many. Not just someone you know will play you on side. Wife, in my particular scenario, should we spend a lot more money on the lounge? Yes, I know what the answer is. That's not sort of a counsel or a conversation where I'm going to get sort of sensible opinion. That's always going to be a yes. You know, sometimes we can do that. We just go to the people we know who give us the answer we want. So many counselors is what you need. Take advice from someone you expect to disagree with. If you are Mr. Risk Taker, which is ask the opinion of Mr. Safe. Just get a contrary view. Just so you've got the balance there. If you're Miss Safe, find Monsieur Risky. You're getting a different view. You want many, many counsellors. Different ages as well are very useful. It's a classic case in 1 Kings chapter 12, James, when Solomon dies, his son is Rehoboam. And the people come to the new king, the young bloke, come to Rehoboam and say, you're working us too hard, you and your dad. We're all going to die and collapse. Can you just go easy on us, not tax us so hard and work us so hard? Rehoboam thinks, So he asks all the wise men of the land, what do you think? And they say, yeah, you know what, the people are right. You know, the monarchy's been driving them too hard, taxing them too hard. Let them ease off. Ease off or there'll be a rebellion. And Rehoboam goes and asks his mates, the guys he's grown up with, what do you think? Tax them harder, work them harder, squeeze them, show no mercy. Yeah, I like that, says Rehoboam. He does let the people rebel and he gets kicked out and loses most of his kingdom. Oops. Because he should have listened to the wisdom of the ages rather than just his mates who played him on side and told him what he wanted to hear. Many counselors. Of course, that can work the other way round. Proverbs would say generally the older you get, the wiser you get, but also the more conservative you get, you're less likely to do the slightly risky, bold thing the older you get, and sometimes you need someone younger to give you a nudge. Many, many advisors, says the book, a variety, you want that. So plan thoroughly is the first element of making good plans. The second little thing, chapter 16, verse 2, question your motives. Difference. Chapter 16, verse 2. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Now look, when it comes to making plans, what are your goals? Because a plan is always a means to an end. I don't want to say the obvious, but we can forget that sometimes. And making our plan, we need to know what the end is. What is our desire? So if you think, I might change jobs, why? What is it you desire? Is it more money? Is it less money but more time at home? You just got to know what you desire before you make plans towards that end. And here the book is saying, just ask a question or two about your motives in why you're taking this decision. Because it's very easy to deceive yourself. So again, two little things. The heart is complicated. Chapter 12, verse 15, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. We could all persuade ourselves that we're doing the right thing. I could wander out here after lunch and go back to the office via the shops and buy myself a new shirt. And I look and think, that's a terrific shirt. I don't have many shirts like that. That's a little bit bold. I like that. I'm breaking out of blue, which is basically what all my shirts are. I mean, this is pretty radical for me today. I'm breaking out. I look good. Take it home. My wife just laughs. That is ridiculous. You're not 16 anymore. You can't get away with that sort of thing. And, you know, it's very easy to fool ourselves. Oh, that'll be good for me. All of us, at some point in time, have had the experience of being asked, why on earth did you do that? And the sheepish response is just, it seemed a good idea at the time. Which I think is what they call the streaker's excuse, isn't it? Why did you do that? It seemed a good idea at the time. You just do it in the moment. In the moment, you just get carried away and do something a little bit daft. Yeah, look, the way of a fool, it seems right. You just need to take counsel from others. Because eventually, well, 16 verse 25, there's a way that seems right to a man. In the end, it leads to death. You can make very serious mistakes with your life. So you do want to make sure you're questioning your motives. And then to keep things simple, I hope, what about chapter 21, verses 1 to 3? Pursue righteousness. Another little block on the issue. So chapter 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. That's good. Happily the Lord is sovereign, and often he'll direct a king to bestow blessing. That's what water is in a Middle Eastern land. Blessing, that's good. Again, verse 2, there's an emphasis upon the Lord weighing the heart. All a man's ways seem right to him. The Lord weighs the heart. So what do you do? The Lord is sovereign. He'll get away your motives. How do you make sensible decisions? Verse 3 of chapter 21. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Just do what is good. Pursuing righteousness, growing in Christ-likeness, that's a great goal. If you're in doubt, do I do this decision or that decision? Well, just do something that pleases God. And you're bound to be on the right path, is what he's saying here. See, we can easily ask the sort of questions, they're very real questions, aren't they, present to us. Lord, what job should I take? And the answer is, don't get an answer. Or Lord, should we buy a property here? Should I invest in that? You don't always get answers. You don't always get handwriting on the wall telling you what you're meant to do next. We don't ever get that. But you don't always get those sort of things, do you? So what do? Well, the book would say, we'll pursue righteousness. Sometimes the Lord makes it very obvious, this way, not that way. Of course he does, sometimes, but not some people, just don't know. But you use your brains and pursue righteousness. You know you're on the right track. Of course it's easy to say, yeah, but life is complicated. Yeah, I know. But sometimes we can make life more complex than it is. There is a significant decision. And yet, sometimes perhaps it doesn't matter as much as we think it does. And the Lord will say, well, do you know, I don't mind if you lose £10,000 on that deal or not, or £100,000. I don't mind. That doesn't bother me particularly. I care that you pursue righteousness. That's the right thing to do. Yeah, that's a lot of money. Yeah, in the scheme of eternity, I give two hoots and all of you. Pursue righteousness. That's the right thing to do. Okay. So plan thoroughly, question your motives, and rest upon the Lord. Chapter 16, verse 3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Okay. Given chapter 16, verse 1, the Lord owns the future, and verse 2, he knows our motives. What are we to do? I just commit everything to him. It's a really active sort of verb. It's not a magical formula for success. Lord, I'm about to invest 100,000 of these equities, and I commit them to you, and I know it'll succeed because I've committed it to you. It's not a magic formula. It's not abracadabra over any decision you're going to make. Verse 4 makes it clear that in the short term,
Wicked people often get what they want, and righteous people do not. 16 verse 4, the Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of destruction.